All right, let's get to the time certain. And again, thank you very much for your patience.
Item 1154, adopt the livable street strategy to prioritize people and encourage community placemaking in the public right-of-way.
Thank you very much for being here.
I may.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Council President Fritz, and thank you to our presenters and to our invited guests for your patience this morning. I want to take us all back to summer in Portland, even though it's October and fall is brisk in the air and winter is knocking on the door. But you remember your neighborhood's block party or being biking through the streets during Sunday parkways or maybe heading over to your local neighborhood street fair or weekly farmer's market with friends and family. All of these activities offer Portland residents and visitors the opportunity to experience their streets and their city in new and exciting ways, and that is what this council item is all about, the Livable Streets Strategy. The Portland Bureau of Transportation has responded to what our comprehensive plan calls for, which is designing, managing, and repurposing Portland streets to create opportunities for a variety of community functions. The Livable Streets Strategy is a roadmap for the city that will reinforce the idea that public streets are public places to be enjoyed by all ages and abilities. The strategy will also, importantly, ensure that the city has consistent rules and processes in place to effectively design, implement, manage, and maintain placemaking activities in the right-of-way. And the end result will be a citywide program that helps community groups create and activate their own spaces that are unique to their own neighborhoods. Director Leah Treat and Sarah Figliozzi will start us off, and then we have a few invited special guests, and then we'll open it up for public testimony. Director Treat.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner Saltzman and Commissioner Fritz and you daily. I appreciate the opportunity to be with my staff here today to talk to you about this strategy that we have. So we believe that great cities are designed for people. If we want to have a great city, we need to put people in the front and center of our thought. And to us, that means making public space a place for people. And our priority should be embracing diverse and special elements of the people who live in our neighborhoods and encourage innovation at the same time. Our public right-of-way, which is our streets and our bridges and sidewalks and alleys and trails, they cover more than 20% of the land area in the city. So they're really our largest asset that we have and are a tremendous resource that's available to us to enhance neighborhoods and give Portlanders a place to celebrate their communities. We believe that there's a lot of untapped community energy to use this space in creative ways. And this belief was recently affirmed by the response to our Portland in the Streets Community Grant Program. We have set aside $100,000 to seed community-driven projects, and we received over 60 proposals. So obviously we are oversubscribed, and the interest is really great in doing a lot of placemaking in our neighborhoods. So we want to harness this energy and see these community ideas realized. So we've been hard at work on the livable street strategy that's going to be shared with you today. And for the first time ever, this strategy is going to bring together all of our individual placemaking and community-enhancing policies and programs into one single framework. So with this framework in place, we're going to be able to enhance how we implement our programs and policies and also spur some more community-inspired innovation. There are two elements I want to highlight before Sarah digs in. The first is the new bureau-wide placemaking policy statement that encapsulates what we are already working towards, that PBOT prioritizes people by encouraging the use of the right-of-way for community gathering places, placemaking, and programming. Second is a focus on improving customer service by streamlining the permitting process and reducing barriers for applicants. We've seen amazing results already using block parties as a pilot, and Kristen here is excited to tell you all about that. So thank you so much for your support of our efforts as we continue to do this. And Sarah Figliozzi, who's coming up next, is going to walk you through the process. Kristen Aldrin will talk about the project's next steps, and then we will have testimony from the Livable Streets Strategy Stakeholder Advisory Committee members. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you, Leah. My name is Sarah Figliozzi, and I've lost my voice, so I apologize if it sounds horrible. It doesn't hurt, but anyway, so apologies in advance. We are asking you today to adopt, it'll be fine, by resolution. Did it not go? Oh.
That's very stoic of you. I'll be fine, I'll be fine.
I know, I'll be fine, I'll be fine. Thank you very much. So we are asking you today to adopt by resolution, thank you, the Livable Street Strategy, which calls for prioritizing people and encouraging community placemaking in the public right-of-way. And then to direct PBOT to develop the procedural guides and the regulatory updates for the implementation of the strategy. The strategy that you have before you has three main purposes. The first is that it establishes the new Bureau placemaking policy. Secondly, it informs the development of the Portland in the Streets program, and so that oversees the permitting of all the community use projects in the future. And thirdly, it establishes Bureau placemaking goals as well as a work plan for staff so that we can advance those goals. And then before I start, I want to recognize the project team. I'm one of six. We have Kristen Aldrin, and we have scattered around, as well as a consultant team, Nelson Nygaard. So this is not work that we're doing alone. The idea of a placemaking strategy and a project permitting guide came from the bottom up as well as the top down. So in the last 5 years, PBOT has been approached by the community members and business members with very unique ideas. And these are different ways in which, for example, plazas, streeting, seat areas, demonstration projects for bike lanes. And for the most part, PBOT staff have been able to get to yes on these projects, or perhaps a variation of the original idea. But the key is that it highlighted an opportunity for the Bureau, that the public is clamoring for ideas, they have ideas, and that staff need the tools to be able to approve them. So it wasn't only requests from the community members, but also from our own citywide plans, as Commissioner Saltzman mentioned. The Portland plan specifically calls on PBOT to develop new designs to promote community uses on city streets, as well as to expand programs to promote community uses. And the 2035 Comprehensive Plan features at least six policies that speak to this work. For example, integrate both placemaking and transportation functions when designing and managing streets, and encourage repurposing street segments that are not critical for transportation connectivity to other community purposes. Excuse me. The result is that we formally launched this work a year ago with the help... with a 12-member stakeholder advisory committee. The committee is a mix of representatives from the business community, the design community, neighborhoods, as well as partners who have experienced working with PMOT to permit community project ideas. And this work has a wide range of partners from Venture Portland, we have Heather here, to Rosewood Initiative. So it's really reinforcing this idea that livable, active streets are for everyone. We want to sincerely thank our SAC members. They, again, spending the past year working with us and advising us and giving us their own experiences. And then I know some of them have taken time out of their busy days today. So thank you very, very much to that advisory committee. There are two elements of the strategy that are really pivotal to the work. The first one are the Stakeholder Advisory Committee goals. They spent some very thoughtful time developing four goals that should guide PBOT's work in encouraging, vetting, and implementing community placemaking projects. I'm just going to read really fast. Reduce barriers for community-led placemaking projects. Encourage placemaking projects that reflect community needs and their character. Ensure citywide access to programs and equitable geographic distribution of placemaking projects, and encourage experimentation and innovation. The second element is this new Bureau policy that we've been talking about. It provides direction for staff, and it confirms PBOT's position that placemaking is an appropriate use of the right-of-way, and that PBOT prioritizes the use of space for people. Our Stakeholder Advisory Committee strongly supported the wording of the policy statement and the emphasis of the PBOT prioritizes people. It resonated so strongly with the group that they wanted the policy statement to be prioritized in the document, so it really is one of the first things that it's read by the reader. So also want to talk a little bit about what were we talking about in terms of these projects. What is community placemaking? The project primarily focuses on community-initiated projects, and in a few cases, projects that have been initiated by the city when a need is identified. They are community-driven, right? The design, the fundraising, the strategizing, it happens when the day job is done, when the kids are put to bed. And we recognize that it is a lot of work by these community groups. And we recognize that there's an opportunity to make that easier for them, to make those future interactions with city positive and helpful ones. So the Livable Street Strategy outlines 40 different ways in which we can do this. But what right now I'd like to introduce you to the program areas and then walk you through a sample of some of the projects. So as part of the strategy work, we identified 6 program areas and are beginning to develop implementation tools for each of them. And Kristen's going to walk you through some of those details. Many of these activities, for example, block parties, community events, the street fairs, they've been permitted by the Bureau for decades. And this is really an opportunity for us to refine those programs, to really bring consistency and transparency across them. But for the new program areas, when we're thinking about pedestrian plazas, when we're thinking about demonstration projects, when we're thinking about community uses for underutilized right-of-ways, there is a need for staff, for processes, and there's a need for applicants in terms of having that information of what they can and can't do. Block parties. I like to call them, these are the bread and butter of our community use permitting. And it really is PBOT's goal that asking for a block party permit and then throwing a party on the street with your neighbors is the simplest thing and for anyone who lives in Portland. Kristen's group, who oversees this work, issued 550 permits so far this year. It's the highest number of permits ever issued, and she'll talk more about it later. Community events, from small street closures to show World Cup matches to neighborhood farmers markets to the Mississippi Street Fair that attracted 30,000 people, these all fall under the program area of community events. They can be very complex. Kristen and her team issues about 200 of them every year. Street paintings, nearly 60 intersection repair street paintings in the city of Portland. They typically happen through a partnership with a nonprofit city repair group, who we're deeply thankful as another SAC member of ours. And they really are wonderful venues for community building as well as grassroots efforts about how we can transform our streets into public places. Pedestrian plazas. So in 2016, community members and city staff helped create Ankeny Plaza out of 20,000 square feet of underutilized space at Southwest Ankeny, Southwest 3rd. Pedestrian plazas will be a new program area for PBOT and one in which the city will be looking for those partnerships to be able to create more public spaces that can come alive with outdoor seating, with tables, with programming. And, of course, the idea for Ankeny Plaza wouldn't have been possible without the demonstration project that happened in 2014 when Better Block PDX, another valued stakeholder advisory committee member, partnered with local businesses and held a 3-day public space demonstration project in 2014. And again, that was for the plaza as well as for the protected bike lane. So demonstration projects like this really allow the city to pilot ideas, to engage the community, and to use that information to inform future decisions. In this photo here, it's a unique proposal that came from a resident of Northeast Emerson and Northeast 26th Avenue to create a neighborhood gathering and play space on in the underutilized areas on the gravel street outside his home. And so developing a program to support projects like this one, as well as alleyway improvement ideas, will fill what is currently a void of information for the public about what is and isn't feasible in these types of areas.
Could I just stop you on that last slide?
Sorry.
If this was in a park, we would have a lot of soft things to fall on for when children fall. What are the implications? I mean, how do you consider the risks and benefits to make a decision about whether to allow something or not?
Right. Kristen, I wasn't involved in that permitting project, but I know that for all of these, we're looking at, but in terms of a fall hazard,
Can
we answer that question when we come back for Q&A?
Absolutely. I know there are other people here to testify too, but
thank you very much.
Popped into my mum's head.
Good. So street seats, art on utility boxes, parking day activities, wayfinding signage, a locally designed Portland-themed putt-putt course. Portland is full of unique ideas, and the stakeholder committee and project team recognized quickly that we have to plan ahead for them. So designing for only a set of well-defined project areas will continue to trip up staff and frustrate the public. So it's clear that the project review framework really had to accommodate unique ideas so that even these unique ones can be permitted in a timely and predictable way. Why a livable streets strategy? Well, over the past year, we have gathered our stakeholder advisory committee members, our technical advisory committee members, key PBOT staff, other bureau staff, and community members to participate in interviews, focus groups, work sessions to uncover the answer to three primary questions. The first one is, how do we make it easier for the public to initiate projects, particularly in communities that have been historically underrepresented or underserved by PBOT programming? How do we ensure projects are safe, successful, and supported by the larger community? And finally, what are the missing policies and processes that are needed to support this work? So here are three of the issues that we came across. One, big holes, right? The project team mapped placemaking projects and events that were permitted over the previous 2 years. And the results show stark areas of the city, particularly Outer East Portland, that can benefit from greater outreach, partnerships, and technical assistance to make those a reality.
And Deep Southwest, and I've got a project just for you, so I'll contact you right away.
Absolutely. And three, as you've seen in this presentation already, PBOT has a history of supporting community placemaking projects, the standard as well as the unique. However, there are clear opportunities to provide direction, clarity on roles, responsibilities, and improve coordination amongst the bureaus. Two, there are both real and perceived barriers to applicants. So, for example, knowing who to contact at the Bureau or understanding the approval process, how to get an idea through the system to the permit stage. And what you see on the screen, and I don't expect you to be able to read it, are the results of a mapping session aptly named The Secret Lives of Permits. And this is where we reunited a few past permit holders with PBOT and other Bureau staff. To be clear, this example was for a creative, unique project, and the city staff didn't have standard processes to fall back on. And PBOT was able to approve a variation of the applicant's idea. The exercise clearly revealed that there were a number of opportunities, including internal and external coordination. The Livable Street Strategy recommends 40 specific actions designed to advance PBOT's new placemaking goals. Through a prioritization exercise, 70 actions that had been culled from best practices and recommendations from our technical advisory committee were refined to the ones that you see in the document. Through the exercise, we clearly heard from our committee that the focus over the next few years should be on partnerships, building capacity with the community to launch projects, and then testing innovative ideas. And before I hand off to Kristen, I wanted to give you a sample of some of the 40. Not all of them, thank goodness. Here are four. So, enhance customer experience. That by pairing applicants with a single point of contact at PBOT, the city can better assist people with project scoping, application questions, or liaising with other bureaus. Increase partner capacity. For example, this could mean developing leadership trainings with our partners in project implementation, volunteer training workshops, or fundraising strategies. Improve awareness and participation. So in this presentation, I've purposely avoided some of the detailed scoping and permitting issues that are really required to ensure that projects are safe, that they're clean, that they're well supported by the community. But this recommendation related to the community notification standards is one of the many that would establish a level of consistency and transparency across our programs. And then evaluate and report. There was a strong feeling that this strategy absolutely needed to push for innovation, and not casual innovation, but that the Bureau set targets to trial unique designs and ideas and then report back on them, on the successes as well as the failures. So the development of the Livable Street Strategy is the first effort in a two-phase project. Kristen will speak about the next phase. This is really the development of the practical tools, the nuts and bolts. But first, she has some highlights in terms of some of the on-the-ground engagement efforts that we've done over the past summer. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Sarah. Good morning, commissioners. My name is Kristen Aldrin with the Bureau of Transportation. Through the creation of this strategy, we identified opportunities to make refinements to our current programs that we were able to implement right away for the 2017 season. This included many coordination meetings to strengthen our relationships and streamline our processes with our bureau partners from the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, Parks, Fire, and Police. We also met with members of the neighborhood business associations to assist in permitting in their annual street fairs. And I'm proud to highlight a few other examples of this work that happened over this past year. The first being the pilot or the block party program. In examining our block party permit distribution over the past few years, we observed that far less permits were issued in East Portland, where lower income and people of color predominate. We designated 13 neighborhoods east of 82nd and Cully as our pilot project area. And we partnered with the Office of Neighborhood Involvement Crime Prevention Group to help identify barriers that contributed to this underparticipation. And in the effort to relieve the identified barriers, the pilot program implemented online applications and a payment system citywide, translated application documents into 5 languages. We waived permit fees in the pilot program area. And as shown at the bottom picture, we made pink street clothes barricades available free of charge at local community centers within the pilot project area. We also participated in community outreach events and were able to connect directly with residents on what Portland in the Street programming meant to them. We attended events such as Sunday Parkways, Oregon Walks, Lent's Founders Fair, and the Asian Pacific American Network of Oregon's Jade Night Market. This granted us the opportunity to share the pilot project's simple and accessible permit process in an informal space. Some perceptions we heard from residents were that it was not possible to close a street, or it was too costly or prohibited. And it was valuable to empower these residents and relay our message that the street is for people. And now that the season is past, the data shows that we issued 4 times as many block party permits in the pilot area than in the previous year. And we realize that the success of any program is a continual evaluation and assessment in order to identify areas to improve. We have since conducted a follow-up survey with the pilot project permittees, and they shared some compelling stories. One family in Cully had never seen or met some neighbors, despite having lived on the same street for 14 years, and they noted that after the first block party this summer, they wished they could have one every month. And many more reported looking forward to next year to do it again. So we feel that the pilot project was a success. As Sarah has mentioned, the adoption of the Livable Street Strategy sets the foundation for development of the Portland in the Streets program. In developing this program framework, there are 2 big shifts in our approach in responding to community use requests for permits. The first is revising our program review framework. This is the diagram you see here, so that there is a clear focus on streamlining, improving internal coordination, and ensuring consistency across programs, and develop application material and program requirements that are consistent, transparent, and predictable. The second shift is putting the applicant first. This means providing greater hands-on assistance to applicants through the permitting process across all program areas. For example, proactive outreach, much like the work we did this past summer, particularly in areas of historically underrepresented and underserved by PBOT programming. An online community toolkit that provides applicants resources to help with design inspiration, funding resources, and identifying community partners. Technical assistance, such as project scoping, helping in developing traffic control plans, identifying financial assistance and opportunities, and coordinating with other bureaus to assist with the other required city permits. So these shifts will translate into the work that we will do over the next several months. Specifically, the next phase of the work is focused on 3 deliverables. We have the first is the external-facing online community information and toolkit. These are updates to our applications, our website, and resources. And secondly is the internal-facing set of project management tools and procedures. And thirdly, the regulatory updates that will bring city code into alignment with the Livable Street Strategy. So your support today will direct our work on these deliverables, and we will return to City Council in February to present them. So that concludes our presentation today. Thank you very much for this opportunity, and we're here to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was delightful. Well worth waiting for. I appreciate, again, your forbearance.
We have one invited panel. That includes Heather Hale of Venture Portland, Ann Gordon, Living Colley, and Ryan Hashogan with Better Block PDX.
Welcome.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Heather Hale, and I'm the executive director of Venture Portland. As you know, Venture Portland is the support organization for the city's 50 neighborhood business districts, which together contain 19,200 businesses and provide 270,000 jobs. Portland neighborhood businesses, 98% of them have five or fewer employees. So in this city, small is really big. For the last year, I have had the pleasure of serving on PBOT's Livable Street Stakeholder Advisory Committee, and on behalf of Venture Portland and neighborhood business districts, I'm proud to support the strategy presented to you today. Neighborhood businesses and business districts depend on Portland's streets and sidewalks to transport customers, employees, and goods. Portland's volunteer-run neighborhood business district associations also rely on these same streets and sidewalks as the venue for the more than 100 large public events they host each year that collectively draw more than 1 million attendees. If you aren't already planning to do it, I strongly encourage you to participate in one of the dozen Halloween events that are going to be going on in neighborhood business districts, family-friendly, safe trick-or-treating that will happen starting this Thursday through Halloween. For the last 4 years, I've worked closely with PBOT's committed staff, Commissioner Fish, and his office to ensure that 100% of these events received their requested street or sidewalk closure permits. PBOT's new livable streets strategy streamlines the current unwieldy permit process into an easy-to-understand and access framework that includes significant technical assistance to help all of Portland's volunteer-run groups get to yes and implement successful community projects and events. Neighborhood business owners are entrepreneurs and innovators who started their businesses because they believed that their idea was the idea. PBOT's livable streets strategy embraces and encourages experimentation and innovation as key elements in community events and placemaking activities. More importantly, however, it takes into account the critical life, health, safety lessons learned during the Better Broadway project on Northeast Broadway last year and embeds necessary and appropriate community and volunteer safeguards into the planning, implementation, and evaluation process of all pilot projects. By ensuring requirements that are appropriate to the project's level of complexity, business outreach, and PBOT inspections during setup, installation, and implementation, the strategy mitigates risk while supporting project success. Finally, as I said earlier, in Portland, small is really big. While the entire livable streets strategy is exciting, the biggest change is in just three small words that underpin the entire strategy. PBOT prioritizes people. This seismic shift emphasizes reducing barriers for community-led projects, ensuring citywide access to and equitable distribution of placemaking activities, and encouraging placemaking that reflects community needs and character. It is exceptional and sets a standard I wish all bureaus would implement. On behalf of the Venture Portland Board and Neighborhood Business District citywide, thank you for continuing to invest in Portland's neighborhood businesses and districts. I urge you to approve the Livable Streets Strategy.
Thank you. Anna?
Thank you. Good morning, commissioners, and thank you for the opportunity to share my perspective on the Livable Streets Strategy. My name is Anna Gordon. I'm here representing Living Colley and was also a member of the Stakeholder Advisory Committee. Living Colley is a collaboration between Verde, Hacienda CDC, the Native American Youth and Family Center, and Habitat for Humanity, and we work directly with community in Northeast Portland's Colley neighborhood. I fully support the livable street strategy, in particular, the need for geographic equity in project distribution and access. There is a need for community placemaking projects citywide, and especially in areas of East Portland that have not had prior opportunities. In Cully, for example, safe access to parks and open spaces are a high priority for community members. Living Cully is currently working with the city to permit a system of wayfinding signs, a 3-mile series of maps and signage to direct pedestrians and bicyclists to Cully Park, Whitaker Ponds, Cunnamux Park, and other green spaces. Wayfinding systems, as you may know, are often found in downtowns or commercial districts, not in low-income neighborhoods. We would love to see other similar community-led efforts in many areas of Portland, including Outer East Portland. Other elements of the strategy that have been important for Living Cully include PBOT's commitment to providing culturally responsive staff and translated materials. We are very excited that the city recognizes that translation services, culturally responsive staff, and technical assistance are the first steps in reducing barriers for many groups. We also value PBOT's commitment to target outreach and partnerships to community organizations that directly serve communities who have traditionally not had access to livable streets opportunities. We also value the flexibility in their permitting system to vet projects that are desired by the community. Our wayfinding project, for example, did not fit into a defined city box, but staff were willing to work through the unknown with us. The proposed permitting framework process is designed so that these types of projects are easier for staff and applicants to work through together. Lastly, I appreciate the opportunity that PBOT has provided for placemaking grant opportunities for community groups. Safe access to public spaces is a high priority for our community. As in much of East Portland, there are insufficient safe crossings and sidewalks for families to be able to access park and community spaces in Cully. We know that City Council and PBOT are both prioritizing safe streets, and we appreciate your efforts in that area. We believe that livable streets and safe streets go hand in hand, so I thank you for your work on both fronts.
Thank you. Ryan?
Well, Commissioners, thank you for your time. My name is Ryan Hashkin, and I'm speaking today on behalf of Better Block PDX in support of the livable street strategy. Our nonprofit is devoted to reimagining our public spaces using temporary traffic control and demonstration projects. These projects help foster community innovation, experimentation, conversations, and collaboration by trying out new ideas. This new livable street strategy makes implementing demonstration projects accessible to a wider range of the city, and that's why we support it. I personally got involved with Better Block PDX as a business owner and operator in Old Town. Our neighborhood had been discussing ideas for improving neighborhood streets for many, many years. Our neighborhood business group had agreed upon a street streamlining of 3rd Avenue to include crosswalks, lower vehicle speeds, and a new plaza at Ankeny. At that time, we were told that there was not a permit available to pursue that project. But with the work of Better Block and the creative work of PBOT at the time, we were able to get everyone to yes by testing out a 3-day plaza and street streamlining of 3rd Avenue. That project had great community support. It was originated by neighbors and businesses. It was brought to life by volunteers and imaginative city staff. And it was sponsored by businesses, social services, and governmental leaders. These demonstration projects help move conversations forward, find consensus and common ground, and provide opportunities for the city to take action. Within 18 months of that project, our neighborhood had 14 new crosswalks, a restriped 3rd Avenue, and Portland's newest plaza, sponsored by the PDC and PBOT. I'm here to express the support of Better Block PDX for this new livable street strategy. This new policy will foster, permit, and encourage new ideas from a wider range of participants throughout the city. This new policy will lower the barriers to experimentation and innovation for community and business groups. This policy also formalizes previous ad hoc strategies for permitting demonstration projects. This livable street strategy will help encourage a more equitable distribution of livable streets projects by formalizing and democratizing the application process. This new strategy also directs city permitting staff to make the process more approachable so they're not just receiving project applications from wannabe urban planners like myself. We especially want to thank PBOT staff for carefully working with stakeholders to craft this new policy, and we are very excited to see how PBOT has embraced Livable Streets Project This new policy will encourage new ideas that enhance our public spaces citywide, and we encourage you to support it.
Thank you very much, all of you. That concludes the invited testimony.
Thank you. That's great.
Do
we have a sign up?
Yes, we have seven people signed up. The first three are Ann Sanderson, Mimi Nohutz-Germain, and Joe Walsh.
Good morning. Thank you for your patience.
Good morning. Good morning, commissioners. My name is Ann Sanderson, and I'm here as the district manager of Old Town Chinatown Community Association. And we're here to support PBOT's livable street strategy on behalf of Old Town. As you know, the Old Town street environment is challenging, and we have demographics that are unlike any others in town. That means that we have these unique challenges when we want to do the kinds of things that neighborhoods do. And we have to think outside the box when we want to do something, and a street fair isn't going to work in our environment. Instead, this summer, we did think outside the box, and we did Art for Everyone. Our program was called Art in the Open. It was a two-day open-air performance art festival where we activated the right-of-way on the sidewalks, parking places, and on our festival street to bring performance artists to everyone, no matter who you were, as long as you were in Old Town. And we encouraged everyone to come down to it. It was amazing. We had musicians and puppeteers and taiko drummers and lion dancers and a couple of bands, living statues, stilt walkers, all throughout for 2 days in Old Town. And it was amazing. And that use of right-of-way was made possible by PBOT, because with their mission of making sure that we could do creative programming, we were able to call them up and say, hey, we have an idea. And it worked. So we absolutely were supportive of this program and the Portland in the Streets grant program as well, because it's going to allow us to do things in the future that make art for everyone and make community for everyone, and particularly in Old Town. So we support the Living Streets, and we want to continue to work creatively and positively.
Thank you for your partnership. That's great.
My name is Mimi Gurman, and I am not coming up to testify against this program, but I want to clarify. There are many of us, especially in St. John's, who cannot get crosswalks put in, proper crosswalks from PBOT, and we would love to have safe streets in Fessenden, and I've spoken with you, Commissioner Saltzman, about this. We still cannot get proper crosswalks to have livable streets in our community. And while all of this is great, I found it kind of appalling on one hand, and not the flip side, that there were 14 new crosswalks in one community, which is amazing, and we can't get one to support the kids that cross Fessenden and our friends who have wheelchairs and are differently abled in our community. I mean, 14 crosswalks in one community within, what, the last little while I took it. I don't know the timeline on that, but wow. Good for them, not good for us. As far as livable streets, I'm not sure what the definition of a livable street is, but knowing that streets don't live and people on them do, I find that we could do better. And that's what I wanted to say, that PBOT can do better. The program itself, it's great. Having performance artists for people is great. I'm a performance artist. I'm completely down with all that. But I don't think that it should be to the exclusion of certain communities. And I feel that St. John's is being excluded. And I'm not sure why, but I do know that the people who need the safe streets in our community are not receiving that at all. And I wanted to just clarify that while this is a huge love fest for PBOT for the last 45 minutes, we are not receiving any of the love that PBOT is putting out. And we could use some in St. John's, not in the form of love, but in true crosswalks with flashing lights so that our kids and our people in wheelchairs can get across Fessenden. That's all I have.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Joe Walsh, for the record. I represent Individuals for Justice, and we still do not take any money. I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, in Bedford-Stuyvesant. And the police department there ran a program, PAL, Police Athletic League. And what they would do is very similar to what you guys are doing. Is they would block off certain streets, especially in the summertime. They would turn on the hydrants and keep the city kids cool that way. So we're very sensitive to these type of programs of blocking off streets from time to time and having block parties and have the kids do drawings and stuff like that. One of my big concerns on this is we have a lot of people living on the streets right now. Mm-hmm. Are we going to run into a confrontation where you want to do something in an area and you have people living there in tents and somebody's got to move or somebody's got to back off? Is there any provision in this program that would say at least we would have some negotiations of how to do that? I don't see that in any of the supporting documentations. I don't know if anybody thought about it. It was an incredibly good report that was given to you. I was impressed with it. I mean, they found, I think, if I heard it right, 20,000 square feet where they could do all this kind of stuff. Well, if we spend that kind of money on that kind of report, why can't we do that with the people that are living on the streets and say, maybe we can find places where they can camp, where they're not going to be raided and they're not going to be swept? Okay? Why can't we do that? This report was so good, so in-depth. I mean, they looked at a lot of stuff. Why can't we do that for the houseless? You know, we've been screwing around with this. We've been spending millions of dollars on brick and mortar, like brick and mortar. What about a study like this? That we actually do it and say, what's the best practices? We keep yelling at you for 10 years about different cities and you ignore them. But you come with a report today, that's really impressive, and we support it. It's really hard for us to support something you're doing. It's like supporting something Trump says. You know, you don't like doing that at all. But this is a good program, and it should go forward. But you should expand it and ask these people, because they know what they're doing, to do a study. Find out some places where we can put people where they're not hassled.
Thank you.
Yes, I know I went over. I tried not to, though.
The next three are Star Stauffer, Hazel Dennis, and Michael O'Callaghan.
I believe Star left.
Okay, let's go with Terry Parker, then.
And anybody else who'd like to testify, please come on up. Good morning. Thank you for your patience.
Thank you for the opportunity to testify. My name is Terry Parker. I live in Northeast Portland. This resolution correctly identifies streets as public spaces to foster inclusive community connections. The primary purpose of these connections is for the movement of people and goods. When this movement is interrupted by welcomed festivals or community events, the city must ensure alternative routes are available, clearly marked, and identified to minimize adding congestion. The city must also ensure there is enough personnel on hand, police, staff, and/or volunteers to safely manage any detour in the event itself. Portland has a parking problem. Just ask and listen to about any neighborhood association that includes single-family residents and has new multi-unit development taking place. 72% of households in developments with inadequate parking or no parking have one or more cars. These cars, frequently belonging to weekend warriors, all too often end up filling up and being stored on the adjacent streets 24/7. This is especially true when an alternative transport mode is utilized for the weekday commute. The problem exists because the city fails to require adequate off-street parking for car storage with new residential development. Both BPS and PBA work in fantasy land silos, thereby failing to address and coordinate some of the reality check needs of the people. In that funding for most streets and TSP projects comes from motorist paid taxes and fees, the mode hierarchy for prioritizing transportation decisions is a form of discrimination. When designing, managing, or possibly repurposing Portland streets to create opportunities for a variety of community functions, on-street parking, commonly necessary for small businesses to survive, needs to be maintained or replaced. Parking must also be included and or maintained with the integration of plazas and other gatherings places into neighborhoods. Any proposed reduction of motor vehicle lanes must require both an operational and environmental impact statement and be disallowed if the reduction will create more congestion or adds travel time, thereby adding emissions. Given the fast pace of population growth in Portland, looking through an equity lens, placemaking opportunities and permanent placemaking infrastructure in the streets designed to improve social connections must also produce improvements for the movement of people and goods, including people driving automobiles. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's all signed up.
Great, thank you. So we can now vote on the resolution.
You daily?
Well, I'd like to thank PBOT for their lovely presentation, and I'd also like to congratulate you because it's not very often that one receives praise from Mr. Walsh, so good job. I'm a fan of the concept of placemaking. I'm all for taking back streets for people. I love the city repair project and have been following their work for almost... Well, I mean, as long as they've been around. But I do want to acknowledge some of the comments that were made by community members today. It is really hard to think about or talk about livable streets when we know so many people are living on our streets, and that certainly some streets are more livable than others, and some communities are reaping more benefits than others from these kinds of policies. So... I know that it's our shared intent to be equitable in how we support communities, and I just wanted to acknowledge, although those people are gone, that I do share their concerns and understand the issues they're raising. And with that, I'm happy to vote aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I want to thank... the project team, Sarah, Kristen, and everybody else who worked on this, our stakeholder advisory committee, too, for the great job that they have done in helping to shape this living, breathing, livable streets strategy. I'm very impressed just from the photographs of the types of creative uses of our streets that people are coming up with. So it's indeed good that PBOT prioritizes people. And I also want to recognize Margie Bradway in her last appearance before city council, at least last appearance as a city employee. She is moving on to a senior management position at Metro. She's been our active transportation manager, and she has done a great job and has tremendous enthusiasm and passion for her job, and those are qualities that will serve her well in every capacity that she serves in the future. So thank you, Margie, for your great work for our city, and I am pleased to vote aye.
Fritz.
Well, I'll definitely add my thanks to Margie for all your work at the city, and gives me another good reason to go to the Metro Policy Advisory Committee meeting, so I look forward to crossing paths with you again there. Thanks to everybody. This is really exciting. As somebody whose primary mode of transportation is walking whenever I can and then transit, I want to give credit to Mark Lakeman and the Village Building Convergence City Repair. I mean, the Sherritt Square, which was the one that got this whole thing started, was back in 95 or 96, where Mark and his neighbours did an intersection repair, as they called it. And then Commissioner Charlie Hales was Transportation Commissioner and figured out, yeah, this is a good thing, let's keep doing these. And since then,
when I do have to drive to go to various places that are almost transit inaccessible, especially to get back to my neighborhood in Deep Southwest, I often kind of stop in my driving because you come to an intersection that's so pretty and beautiful. And you know that neighbors from around it created that, and it's theirs, and they're all different. You know, the sunflower one in Sunnyside is one of my favorite, but they're fantastic. And as I said, I've been longing for quite some time to make use of the view of Mount Hood that can be seen from the center of an intersection near my home. So I will start talking with my neighbors. But thanks to Mark Lakeman, the Village Building Convergence, if you don't know about it, it brings people from all over the world to do volunteer projects here in Portland. I helped with the Arlita Triangle and with a project in Foster, and basically playing with mud, it was what it seemed like, but in fact we created some really beautiful spaces, and it's the community doing that, and I'm so happy that this is now becoming official policy. I want to thank the whole team who presented, Noel Mickleberry, who's the current Oregon Walks leader, carrying on the very good footsteps of Steph Ralph, Riddy DeCruz with City Repair, who's again continues to work with Mark Lakeman, Brian Hoop, and Stephanie Reynolds, formerly with the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, were very key, I know, and Alan Schmidt in Portland Parks and Recreation. I appreciate all that he's contributed to this. And I do also appreciate the attention to equity and what is it that we need to do to make this more accessible to most people. So as Janine Gates on my staff identified, really simplifying the permitting process, less time to issue permits, online applications, low or no cost street barricades, and establishing this policy which actually supports the program and is intended to make it much easier to use. So thank you. I hope we have lots of projects that put you through your paces, and I'm sure we'll learn from them. And thanks, Commissioner Saltzman, for your leadership on this. Aye.